Good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent.
Excellent. Well, last night.
No.
No.
Noises?
Mild after effects. What is that? The shingles vaccine.
Oh, really?
I think it's still going to be better than getting shingles.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because Tina, we debated that, whether we should...
That's nothing major, just sort of...
It gives you like a, yeah...
Yeah, I'm very fragile.
That's so true. That's an apt description. All right, we're gonna go right to putting you on a pedestal, because, and I know how much you enjoy that.
Please don't.
No, I'm gonna, because did you hear Gullo yesterday with me?
Yeah, I never missed. You know, I never missed the show.
I know that. I know you don't.
You had Gary on yesterday. I did see that. I love Gary.
He was terrific. And
I've been winning in New York for a long time. Not too many trainers have been winning like Gary for as long as he's been winning in New York. Not an easy thing to do.
Do you remember his dad much at all?
Tommy Yaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, in fact, I hit the first pick six I hit. He, of course, either won or ran second. I feel like the first time star was 13-1 of his, and they ran second to another horse I used. It was a shorter price, like 4-1 or something. But, But he's, I'm trying to think how long Gary's been on his own. He's been on his own for close to 30 years.
Oh, easily. I mean, all the guys, you know, around his age, Levine and Siaka and Barbera, you know, they all came on the same time, on the track at the same time.
Well, probably Barbera retired.
Well, I'm saying, but I mean, over the course of the time.
Have you had Bobby on since his retirement?
You know, I have not, and
you should.
The other guy I owe a visit to is Paracella, and we didn't talk about his book when I was laid up over the summer.
Well, you couldn't read it.
Yeah, no, I zing! Gullo officially really started to saddle horses on his own in 84. He'd had one in 80 and 83, but 84 full time.
Like he's won every year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The great numbers off the claim. Very good trainer. Very reliable trainer.
You know what's amazing about Gary is, with all the wins, he's got 800 wins in, with 6,300 starters. He's only got a couple of horses that have earned over 250,000.
No, I know he's not. You know, that's why people may not notice him as much. And somebody's going to say, well, his numbers he gave is like 14%. It's very good for a guy in Gary's. Because first of all, he probably didn't win for, you know, as much in the beginning. But he just doesn't have... He doesn't have too many really good horses in his barn, and he just wins with what he has.
Yep. Well, that gets us to Big Q, who you latched onto over the summer and had enough confidence going into Saturday to key off of, and I heard you on the show, and explain what was there for you that other people didn't see.
I don't know. You know, I think... complimenting me for picking a winner is kind of silly because I do a lot of things that are similar and sometimes they work and most of the time they don't. But I mean, in that race, it worked out, so it's good. But you know, it's like what's the? But I didn't like the field. Like I wasn't really impressed with anybody in there. You know, the horse that finished second was coming off a big gold rail win, and I wasn't a huge fan of the maker horse who finished third. And who are you supposed to like in there? So, you know, once you get to a point where the two favorites seem sort of weak, he sort of opens it up. And Big Q had actually run very well in the Adirondack, coming back fairly quickly. I think Broker's Maiden an opening day, maybe? And came back reasonably quickly in the Adirondack, you know, for a two-year-old. And she actually ran very well in there. And that was the race that clued out. She was on a dead rail. She made a middle move. She had some traffic. And she ran much better than you would have expected. I imagine she was a very big price in that race. And sort of caught my eye. And then when she came back just a couple weeks later, she ran terribly. But, you know, maybe, you know, I think Gary said something. When I talked to him after the race, and he said, probably was a little, you know, run back a little quickly and whatever, and, you know. But to me, I didn't know before him. Obviously, something went wrong because then you don't see her for 3 months, so or 2.5 months or whatever. So obviously, you know, something happened in that race. There was some reason probably beyond just she's bad that she didn't run well. I think people looked at the figures. They would say, well, she ran her number, but I didn't agree that she ran. I don't think she ran nearly as well in her third start as she did in her second start, where she really made an actual move in a race where she was over her head. So to me, she was just the only interesting horse in a race where I just didn't find favorites. I mean, I do that a lot, and they usually lose. In this case, she won. And, you know, I trust in Gary. It just feels like he's a reliable guy. Anytime I'm interested in one of his horses, then I you know, I don't have any problem betting them. Done well with him in the past in a lot of situations. And she ran. She really ran. I mean, she had an 85 buyer. And they got some, those Stallion Series closed with big purse races, right?
Yep.
So she's
that's what he's doing.
Potentially could get a big payday. But she runs the way she did on Saturday. I mean, he's going to make a lot of do very well with her. I mean, that's a big number, 85. I mean, that's a higher number than the Breeders' Cup got, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a sprint, and this is a, you know, that was a route. But I mean, she's running figures as high as any 2-year-old fillies basically are running in the country. So that must be exciting for him. And I'm glad. I'd love to see him get a big horse and do well with a big horse. You know, it makes a real difference. You get a horse like that in your barn. So. And I'm confident that that Garrett will do the best you can with the horse.
Well, ended up going off at 940 and pays 2080. You know, a big key, you know, to the nice mutuals on the back end through the, you know, through the pick four.
Yeah, I should have bet the pick four. I had two of them on top and two of them second, but I was actually tied up my office doing something. But I wasn't really thinking about that much. I wouldn't hit the pick five. I feel like
the
would
DQ
have been
horse.
Annoying in the pick five if that Donk horse I liked that ran fourth beating a length in the first leg, 23-1 had won. The pick five had paid 50,000 or something. Then I would have been annoyed.
Well, that maiden race with the DQ, and that horse absolutely needed to come down. I mean, that was.
Seemed like it. I didn't pay. I was busy doing something in my office, so. I didn't pay as careful attention as I should have, but from a little bit I watched, it seemed like legitimate DQ.
Yeah, agreed. And it elevates, you know, a pricey horse to start the pick five. That starting point becomes a $20, $22.
Right. Well, that pays huge. I mean, it was a $700 pick four, but the pick five was crazy, right? And it paid like
yes.
$20,000 or something.
Yeah, I got it right here, actually.
Great value.
Well, we did all we could to try to with Carlisle Bell. We did everything we could to juice her up.
Yeah, yeah. I think I picked her fourth. I thought she was interesting to get a piece in there. Yeah,
she tries. I mean, she runs.
Well, she's a sprinter. When she can go shorter distances, she has a chance. And, you know, she did what a lot of horses didn't do. She closed, and you know, I don't know. I'll have to watch the race again and see how much dirt she took. She did benefit from an outside post. But track was highly unusual. You know, this past week and even the last two or three days of last week where horses were not making up ground frequently in the main track races. And I think a lot of it was trying to run through a very tough kickback. And I'm not, as you know, I'm not big on kickback. I don't think it's a vastly overused concept. But there has to be a reason that horses were struggling, and the ones that did have effective closing were doing it outside. We're outside for most of the race, you know. We're out.
Well, you'll enjoy the replay then, because what Benji Hernandez rides her very well. He cut behind the field off the break,
the field, and she finished second. He didn't ride her well. No, he didn't ride her well.
What do you mean?
If he put her behind the kickback, he didn't ride her well.
Well, when I say he put her...
And he put her behind the kickback, he didn't ride her well. I'm not going to debate it.
No,
he means he's not paying attention.
He put her in a spot where she was saving ground.
Doesn't matter. She was eating kickback, so it wasn't a good ride. I'm not going to have a huge argument in your show about it. But I understand that in a normal sense, the ride he gave was probably a good one, but not in this racetrack.
Well, he kicks... Or he comes off the turn, and then he fans out...
Steve, I understand what the best kind of trips are. I understand that in a general, normal situation, saving ground and angling out is the right trip. Not in this racetrack. I'm not going to debate it. You can watch all the races and tell me how those horses did overall.
I want you to watch it. We'll discuss it later. But I don't see how.
I'm happy to watch it, but if she did what you just ride, it wasn't a good ride. It's fine. But just because you're technically doing the right thing doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing, because every track isn't the same. And if you put a horse on this racetrack inside and behind horses, you're probably not giving that horse its best chance.
Well, she wasn't in the sense of where she was. It wasn't like she was right in behind a pack of horses.
Steve, let's just move on. I don't want to have a long debate about it.
I want you to watch it again and tell me where it wasn't. Speaking
of
which,
if he put her in behind horses, it wasn't a great run. Well, on that racetrack, on the dirt. I'm not going to keep saying it.
Fine. Your impressions of, speaking of Bug Boys, your early impressions of Declan Carroll and how he's faring.
Well, you know, I'm biased because I like Declan. You know, I've been friendly with him for a couple of years, and Richie's his agent, so I'm biased. I'll withhold judgment until I've seen him ride more. I don't think it's fair for me. You know, he hasn't had, you know, Richie does a very good job getting live mouths, but he did a good job with Chris Landeros, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, and I want him to do well. I'm going to root for Richie. He's my friend. I like Declan, too. How he's ridden, he's been aggressive, which is going to help him going forward. That's the best thing I'd say he's done. I mean, I think turf racing here is going to be a bit of a challenge at times. I'm not saying he's ridden badly. I really haven't seen enough. But I think he'll have a good winner. You know, Joey Martinez has lost his Bug, and Joey's been riding great. If Joey still had his Bug, I think that would have hurt Declan, because Joey would have gotten sort of the best Bug Boy mounts. And I think Declan's in a position to get them now.
That's why I think it was smart for him to come to town, too.
No, he's a good guy, so I want to see him do well.
In fact, he won for Gullo on Sunday.
I wasn't in Sunday. Who won? Who won?
That Armament in that 16 claimer and ran really well.
Oh, he was in front.
Got a big figure.
He was smart. He went to the front.
Yep.
He's got a good tutor.
Yes, he does. There you go.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see him and Richie have a good winner. It'd be great.
I want to ask you about the maiden race that early on the card that was on paper looked like it was going to be potentially productive. That was the one that Hemlock ended up winning.
Really?
Yeah, there were some
productive Hemlock.
Well, it looked on paper. It looked like there were some interesting horses.
Well, I mean, they have to strike power. I mean, he's the only horse in there that you want to dream up an excuse. You can give one because he got left, and then he ate dirt the whole way. He also made a run on the turn and then completely stopped. Now, the racetrack may have affected him. He may have eaten dirt the whole way, and it may have stopped him. So if you want to give an excuse, I'm not inclined to. I mean, Hemlock won for two reasons. It was a bad field, and he was forwardly placed on that racetrack. But, I mean, the horse that ran second is a maiden claimer. So, tough to be overly excited by that race. Mark Hennig's horse, you could make an excuse for Mark Hennig's horse. I didn't like that he made that move and then completely stopped. But horses did that a lot in this racetrack.
That's Kingmeister, the Don Adam homebred.
You say the same thing at the Kelsey Danner first, or that horse ate dirt a lot, too, and tried to make a move, but was stuck in the kickback the whole way. It's tricky. I mean, I'm not condemning the riders, because sometimes you just have no choice. You get stuck in those situations. Riders that haven't been aggressive with horses they should be aggressive with are doing their horses a disservice. This is a particularly bad track to be playing that New York snatch and grab. It's never a good move to do it, and we do it too often, but this is a particularly tough racetrack to have done it, because basically you eliminate your horse's chance. I don't think got financial stability on Sunday. That was a race where they handed the victory to the winner. There were real speeds in there, none of them being the winner, and they just let that horse go 25-50. And everybody was snatching and grabbing, and that prevented them. So, the tracks are going to normalize, and there will be positively and negatively out of these races. I don't think we have enough turf racing left to take real advantage of the rail thing. You know, some of those horses may be going to Florida, especially at some of the maiden races and such. You can use those because those are interesting. But with Glenn bringing the rails out, I think 9 on the inner and 12 on the outer, the surfaces both normalized. So we didn't see a bias on the turf over the course of the week, which was nice.
I want one other comment about the maiden race, and I'm bringing it up because I wrote about it in my little analysis.
You wrote negative key race?
No, I wrote though before the race. I warned people not to bet obsessed.
Obsessed.
That was the Pletcher Firster. That was all turf. All turf.
Mm-hmm. Well, but sometimes it's counterintuitive. Todd obviously knows it's all turf. I mean, I didn't like the horse either, so I'm not, you know, and the horse obviously ran last, and I know it's all turf. But sometimes, you know, it's counterintuitive that horses that are turf bred are running in dirt sprints first time out. In this case, I assumed probably Todd just felt the horse probably needed a race, or he wasn't overly confident in the horse, but it doesn't mean he wasn't well met. We've seen horses with a turf-type pedigrees win those races.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm inclined to toss them because they're going to be short prices because it's Todd. But, you know, you have to be careful with that. But I don't disagree in general. That's not a horse I would let beat me in a multi-race bet. But in the race, I'm happy to bet against him.
A couple of two-year-old questions from the last few days, in fact. Perjury Trap.
Yeah, you were in. I bet the second
right,
horse.
Pretty good.
I bet the second horse, who I thought ran the best race. Perjury Trap really ran. He made a nice big run. I mean, I thought originally that he was badly affected when the Jonathan Thomas horse bolted and pulled up out of the race. He actually, I thought, I read did a superior job of really avoiding significant trouble. He was very minorly affected by that horse bearing out, which is really a credit to Irad, who was riding sensationally. But he ran, yeah, he made a big run. You know, it's interesting. It's funny. He got the same figure, 75, he's been getting in dirt races. But it's hard to say that you don't think he's probably better on the turf than he is in the dirt. But the figures have been all the same. But the turf figures for 2 year-olds in these two turf races, they're rarely very high. So I'm not going to, you know, I wouldn't make too much of it. But he did. He made a big run.
And there was one that Rudy, that race we talked, remember we talked last week about those two maiden races that we're going to scratch out a little bit, and
right.
That Water White ended up running Friday and looked pretty good.
I don't agree, but I think after the race, Rudy probably thought to himself, maybe I overthought it, should have run our 7. I think what happened in that race is the racetrack and these young horses trying to get a mile on that dirt course, they're really tiring late. And
yeah.
She looked like a fairly easy winner and sort of almost lost. That was way too long an inquiry considering what happened in that race. I'm not sure why they spent so much time looking at it. Second horse really improved, the Todd Pletcher horse. I do think that race got a decent fig, right?
79.
Yeah, so she ran a little slower than the time before, but it was a different pace scenario. I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed, but she's okay. We'll see. At least she was able to get out, stay out in the clear. Well, the horse that really is disappointing is that Mrs. S, huh?
Yeah. Yes, because I discussed...
She must be a morning worry.
We discussed that horse.
Todd Pletcher actually did the podcast with us right after that race. He was great. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it. We're starting across the boards again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're going to hope to do one with Joe Applebaum from 8th on Thursday. But yeah, Todd was great. Todd's always great. I mean, he's as bright and thoughtful and interesting and just generally. He's just very good at those. He's very good at anything where he comes on your show. I'm sure he's great.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. We had the Vino Rosso. He actually put up his Twitter account put up a picture that was really cool. The
all the people involved Vino Rosso?
No, the foreman, Todd's foreman, was the groom of Pleasantly Perfect.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that was
cool. Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
20 years later, it was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was cool. God, 20 years ago. 20 years ago? No, not 20 years ago. 15 years ago, really. 16 years. I think he won the 2003 Breeders' Cup, right?
Was it three? Three.
Yeah. Two was Arlington 2002. Yes, that was with Aguilera. It was a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old.
Okay.
Aguilera ran some race, losing, finishing second in that race, tending the quick pace. what a horse he was. He's probably better than a mile and a quarter than he was a mile and an eighth. And everybody seemed to think because he didn't win a lot of races a mile and a quarter, he was better. He couldn't go a mile and a quarter. Another result-oriented fallacy.
there it is. I love it. Any notes to pass along for coming days?
I don't think so. Do I have to look at this? Do I really have to find those things?
No, you don't have to dig around.
It did rain until, two or three. So I think
we got snow here.
We did not. It's going to be warm here this week.
Well, then you win because
it's going to warm back up.
You
want to live up in the frozen tundra.
I do. It is tundra-esque here. I will acknowledge. Another few days. It's nice cards and nice racing.
Yeah, the cards aren't. You know, we have 8 race cards on Thursday and Friday. I'm not in Friday, so I'm in Friday and Sunday this week. I'm gonna try to use some of my vacation days. I won't be able to use all of them, but I'm gonna use some of them. Yes, I really should take them in Belmont. I like being an Eckert.
That's an easy trip, right?
I just like it. Yeah. Aqueduct, you actually see people you work with because you're in a fairly small, fine place and it's busy upstairs. It's just
exactly
lively. It's just, and you see the people you work with. At Belmont, you're so far separated from everybody because it's so gigantic.
Exactly.
You can go months at Belmont and never see. If you're not located, you know, in the vicinity of certain people, and you're not, you know, I don't go to a lot of meetings outside of our production meetings, outside of our department. I'll go months without seeing anybody.
Hmm.
Like the customer service, like people down that office, Eileen,
yep,
and such. I'll go the entire Belmont without seeing Eileen, unless I run into her when I'm coming in the morning.
Gullo and I yesterday discussed to some degree. He also said the same thing, that he likes it over there.
Yeah, even Gary, like the trainers. I see Gary. I see trainers. Yep. I see the jock agent, guys, like people I like, I'm friendly with. You don't see him going in the racing office, and I'll head down there occasionally, but I'm on the air a lot of the time, and it's a trek down there. Whereas in Aqueduct, it's sort of right there in the walking area, so down in the offices, so you can stop by very easily. It's nice. It's really nice.
We're hoping we might get a second trip in as soon as Saturday. So,
wow, that's yeah.
We're bringing back Minute Mouse. She should. There's a state bred thing for her on.
Who's
on
your
Saturday.
Next guest?
Ed DeRosa.
Okay, I think he's waiting by the phone.
He might be. Andy, I appreciate it, and.
Great thing for me every week to get a chance to be on your show.
I know. That, by the way,
I'm just a little under the weather.
One of your funnier tweets the other day, when last week I didn't discuss this with you.
Oh, when Paul Matisse said he got bounced.
With Paul Matisse, yes. What's your secret?
I'm gonna have to find out.
Probably. Loved it. Feel better, and I appreciate it. And then later you can explain.
I'm not going to. You got to bring it up again. Have fun with Ed. See you later.
See you later. Andy Serling, everybody. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back. Ed and I are going to walk through tomorrow's Pick 5, races 6 through 10. It's a nice sequence. And, again, big full fields. It's been an amazing post-Breeders' Cup period. You got a 20-claimer. Going a mile and 16th, 3 and ups is a dozen. 2-year-old fillies, an allowance. They got 16, 2 MTOs, so really 14, and mile and a 16th there for 2-year-old fillies on the grass. Then 3 and up, first level allowance, going the flat mile. Some interesting names, some horses you've seen run. Then a second level allowance going 7/8. There's 12 in there. Feels like about half can win. And then a mile and an eighth turf race for 3 and ups, maiden special, field of 10 with 4 AEs, 2 MTOs. So we'll get a little weather update too from Ed, see if they've gotten Usually what we have, they've had 36 hours earlier. So the rainy snow we had, they must have had Sunday night. So we'll see what Ed's thoughts are about the turf. Ed DeRosa joins us next. Andrew Lerner's going to join us in a little bit as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 388-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Just about 15 to the top of the hour. Andrew Lerner's going to join us at about 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific. We'll talk about a really an emotional roller coaster for him and his whole barn. Might be an emotional roller coaster tomorrow at Churchill. I wanted to get out ahead of this so that people listening to the replay tomorrow, if you're listening the next morning, let's see. It's what? What is it? It's 10:45. So basically 7:45 tomorrow morning on the replay, they'll be listening. And it'll still be fresh and useful because Ed's going to sweep the card. He's going to give you a 50 cent straight carryover pick five winner. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm happy just sweeping the back half of the card on Wednesday.
Perfect. Exactly. That's the focus. And, you know, what a crazy 3 days, Ed, because there was Friday's antics that created a pick five carryover into Saturday, and then, you know, nice return, a little under 4,000, and then right away again. It's kind of unusual to get them in that close proximity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe in September we had some succession, and in part because there's three pick fives on Saturday, so that wasn't in play here. They all got hit this Saturday, but I think that helped create a storm in the September meet. But, yeah, in general, having two in a week, and especially nice to get this one with the two-day break because you really have an opportunity to build buzz. And with the 15% takeout on the new money, I'd be shocked if this weren't the biggest pool on Wednesday anywhere.
Well, and it's, you know, bulky sets of fields as well. First of all, so that everybody can get a sense, what's our feel for weather and where the turf is, and, you know, how likely is that sixth and tenth to stay on, and the seventh
Seventh and tenth. Yep. Yeah. I would lean. I guess they're saying a 20% chance of rain, and I would say if it rains at all, that probably puts us in danger. So I guess based on that, I'd say 80%. We're on the turf. It's been dry every day since we returned to the turf Friday after the cancellation last week, and then off the turf the day we returned. But it's been turf since, and it's played forwardly. We've had 24 turf races between the September and November meet, not maiden turf races, and more than half, and this is using BristNet data, but more than half have been either E or EP types and with at least four Kieran speed points, and some of those decent prices as well. So not saying a closer camp win, but one of those situations where knowing we're going to have to narrow and make some tough decisions to navigate this sequence, I'm definitely going in thinking forwardly placed is where you want to be on the green.
Interesting. All right. That's helpful. Let's start with the sixth race. This is a non-winners of two lifetime claimer, 20,000. They're going to go a mile and a 16th. There are 12 of them lined up, and certainly you start with the favorite, Fra Mauro, for Eddie Keneally, recently taken from Amos and Maggie Moss.
Yeah, and to borrow a line from, I think, Andy, but it might be Nick, or both, maybe, but I think I'm signing the divorce papers on this one. I've backed this one, certainly that race two back at Churchill. Granted, 6-1 was an okay price, but as a guy who handicaps the Midwest, I think I was there for the funeral at 7-5 at Indiana Grand as well, and just a little nervous about taking a short price on this one. Now, granted, Eddie's good off the claim, but this is not a race I'm looking to plant my flag on a short price. So we'll see if he ends up making the ticket ultimately. But I thought Jason Barkley's wild about candy looked interesting on the outside. Certainly is the speed of this race. And, you know, with, and I haven't looked at the first five, so I'm not sure if it's a turf race, but we'll at least have four races to get a sense for how this main track is playing off the break. And this horse, it just might be, see you later, goodbye. BristNet pace-wise, there's no one even close, and been around Jason enough now, handicapping between Oaklawn and Churchill over the past year. He's the type that, you know, he seems like he sends him out with instructions to run to style, and I don't think the stretch out's going to bother this horse at all.
I absolutely agree. And at that price, I mean, if this was not a, you know, a carryover sequence that was going to be so attractive, I mean, this was a horse at 10-1 you'd absolutely be keying off of, and you can do that as well. But I agree. Yeah. I the pace advantage that, you know, that you're looking at. A couple of others that I think need to be at least discussed are the droppers, and Dale Roman's drops Moonster, and what about Candy Store for Amos?
Yeah, Candy Store was who I'm looking to probably pick second for Amos, as you said. fresh off a claim, or I guess second start off the claim, really gaudy numbers for Amos there. Be interested how it shapes out when you pair that with down two classes together. He's positive in both stats, so I imagine it's pretty good. And here's another twirling candy stretching back out for Maggie Moss. And, you know, those are connections you don't worry about when they drop. They run horses where they're competitive. You know, it's very much Maggie's into the claiming game, and doesn't bother me at all that one's dropping. And then the morning line favorites, a dropper as well, perhaps marooned on the outside for Brad Cox. I found, Steve, and I wish I had better numbers to back this up. It's kind of anecdotal. But with Brad, when you get the kitchen sink treatment, the drop, the surface change, they're not tinkering with distance at least, but I haven't found that that's good for him. He doesn't seem like a trainer who likes to do a lot when he's keen on a horse. So I'm a little sour on Believing Holidays as well. So this might be a bust out right off the rip.
Interesting. The one thing I'm looking at here with Munster's drop, he's coming out of a 50 non-2, and of course this is a horse that, you know, you go back through the season, and you know, he was racing in stakes, and Dale kept trying. You know, he actually was third in the Jeff Ruby, third in an allowance before trying the Sam Davis, and this is a horse that showed some promise. I'm surprised that they would not geld him before giving him away like this. Why would you not geld this horse? I mean, obviously, he's a Malibu Moon, and he didn't fetch a lot, actually. Going back to, he was a short yearling at that point. And I'm very intrigued. He's a Malibu Moon out of a Bridal Song mare, Calumet. Why wouldn't you geld this horse and see if that made a difference before, you know, giving him away for 20? Well, somebody else can claim him for 20 and do that.
And do that, yep. And
that'd be the first thing I would do.
Was on Polytrack.
Yep.
Might look attractive to some people heading north in a few weeks.
Exactly. But anyway, that's just it's an interesting group, and I think we've identified most of the candidates. Any season here that that have got knockout potential?
I mean, based on yours and I both, you know, thinking wild about Candy Fitz, I don't think he'll be a knockout. But three and eight, are the two I'm definitely going to be on every ticket.
Very good. All right, let's turn to the second leg. That's the first of the grass races, the mile and the 16th. It's an allowance, second level. And what's interesting is that Ben Huffman can even put a two-year-old long on the grass turf allowance together for two-year-olds. Unbelievable.
Not even on a Stars of Tomorrow card. Yeah, good for him and the horse population.
It's amazing.
Really, really interesting race. I mean, you know, we actually get they've all run, so we're not dealing with firsters. And again, I did handicap for turf, so I didn't even consider the main track only. Skygaze marooned on the outside if she were to get in, excuse me. And fourth on the AE list, probably not. But it does sort of make, you know, how bullish you want to be in other races difficult without knowing who ultimately ends up in here. But I'll ignore the AEs for the time being and say that Morning Gold, I thought with a chance to maybe run back to that Saratoga race where she broke her maiden as the favorite at Saratoga. So that's certainly well meant. And then it was kind of interesting to me the Shine was off by the time she got to the Jessamine, was 8-1. But behind some good ones and just kind of ran on evenly and now gets an allowance here. And Tyler's just been riding lights out. So for me, it's 6-1 and not one of the favorites. I thought Morning Gold merited a lot of consideration.
I won't argue. I kind of like the way Wex looks. Wex is a horse that we talked about with Larry Jones back at the time of the Kentucky Downs meet off of that being moved up, and I forget who we were why I called Larry. I don't know if it was a street, if it was, what's her name? The Philly that we... Street Band, thank you. Larry won a bunch of races, and I called him, and this horse came up for Hinkle. And she, to me, 10-1 is insane. I mean, I don't know how, I don't know why that horse would have looked like she's 10-1 in here, but okay. But that's who I would key off.
And another 10-1 I thought was interesting for Arnold and Rocco staying aboard was Ginger Kitty. Outside, I don't love, given she appears to be a speed horse, but I think that may be circumstance because she came home real quick. So I don't know if she's a need the lead type. She just kind of had it all her own way on debut. And that was an off the turf race, but you know, Red Rocks out of an English Channel winning first out of the gate, off the turf. I think that's kind of a spotlight on her. So, she'll be
well, there's not a lot of pace here, Ed. I mean, that's one of the reasons that's one of the reasons Wex is attractive. I mean, she can actually sit close, but there's nothing wrong with Ginger Kitty. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, and as I said with Morning Gold, the win was Gate to Wire Saratoga. So, those three, I mean, and there's some low morning lines here, and that's, you know, kind of with the having the AEs and not really knowing what to make the odds, so tough to read too much into what the line will ultimately be. But I think the three we've mentioned are going to offer the right value.
Well, and then down inside, past the plate, it has certainly merits some respect. 3-1 favorite gets to save all the ground and doesn't, you know, seem to possess much pace, and I think has got to improve actually off of the maiden breaker at Keeneland to really impact this. And honestly, the same could be said of Across, who's the second choice at 7-2. But they both will save ground. But there again, there's not a tremendous amount of pace to set either of them up, and both would have to improve to beat some of the ones we discussed. Did we talk about Ask Bailey?
No.
Ask Bailey, I've got highlighted as well as a horse that needs to be, you know, either a B, you know, 7-2 and has never been off the board, and four starts for Hooties and Maker. I look at that company that, you know, out of the Jessamine and the Juvenile Filly race at Kentucky Downs. I respect Maker. This is Maker's wheelhouse.
Right.
Long on the grass.
Yeah,
any age.
No disagreement.
Third leg gets us into a first level allowance, the straight mile, and there's a lot of interesting things happening in this race. I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, this might be a spot where I lean and gamble, and it is on the morning line favorite, but. All Keeneland meet, Gary Palmisano and I, mostly him noticed it, and then I agreed once I started paying attention. Churchill horses just were not running well at Keeneland, spinning their wheels, et cetera. And now at Churchill, Keeneland winners, it doesn't seem like they're running very well at Churchill. And this is a horse, that kind of was Churchill trained. At Keeneland. Now, Granny was 8.5-1, and there are some decent names in that company line on the speed and fade with the short stretch. But I think Gunnett, with that bullet work now and the time off for Steve, just to me, this might be the spot where you need a single, and he sort of fits the profile for me of a horse that on his best is probably faster than the rest.
Interesting, and I've got Gunnett as one of the players, but there's a few interesting aspects to this. Down inside, we should mention the Fullness of Time, who just went through the ring the other day, right? Just sold at the bloodstock sale. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, right? I know David bought This might have been the summer sale, actually, that this is not the one that David and Gordo bought a couple of Clarovich Lawrence horses, which this is, but this,
the training center.
So, yeah. With Cherie.
Summer sale. Yeah.
Yeah. This was earlier, but Fullness of Time and, has been working right along. Down inside, get Scaflione, then I thought that Dale Romans with Antseek as well, getting back to a one-turn mile, might be the cure. Last time had the opportunity to do this, broke his maiden.
And just to his inside, Father G, Tommy Drury, probably one of the most under-the-radar trainers for a guy who routinely wins between a quarter and a third of his starts. Granted, elsewhere, but still, he's already won a few at Churchill, and the Brisnet numbers are 93 and 89, which is certainly in the frame for this group.
And even Rusty, you got Rusty with the Dizzy Sight as well for the Hills, and Shakes Creek, second off the layoff, and certainly ran respectably in Allowance Company on a wet track in Indiana. I thought this was, I don't know, Ed. I mean, I am not somebody that, I don't mind singling in a tough spot, but I don't know. This was difficult.
A stand will be required somewhere, and Gunnett was one of the spots I was considering.
That's what it is. I mean, you got to make and chances are when they turn for home, he's on the lead under Santana. And by the way, it is Ricardo Santana's birthday.
Oh, okay. Well,
the magic of social media.
Yes. Seems to be a popular handicapping angle with people.
Right? That's especially Bill Mott in the summer. We get to the second level allowance, ninth race, and some very familiar horses here, including Telekinesis and Dundeal and so on and so forth. Mojo Man for Jimmy DeVito and Curate, now with Peter Miller off the claim, looks very imposing. 9-2, Proshima for Bill Mott. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 horses as win candidates.
I'm starting with 3 and 8, and we'll see where I go from there. Curate being the 8, Peter Miller just unbelievable. 6 for 9 at the meet. Not quite that gaudy in September, but very successful. The horses he spotted at Churchill, and just to me impossible to leave off. Even off a Steve Asmussen claim, if he just keeps this one even in the low 90s, he's an obvious player. And then Dundeal for Ian Wilkes, getting out to the full 7 furlongs from 6.5. It does seem like Ian tried this horse a couple times, went on dirt to go beyond 6. So I'm kind of encouraged that they get 7 here, and is a pace player early.
Yeah, Telekinesis will suck along down inside. First time for Jack Sisterson. Dundeal on the lead. Curate can certainly, Peter knows this one way. I've got Dundeal, Mojo Man, Moon Over Seba, Curate and Proshima as the 5 that and I'll probably make 3 of them A's and 2 of them B's.
I don't think I'm going to let myself get beat by the Thistledown horse, so I'll need to take a look at what I think of this one being able to go 7. But certainly fits that number, no doubt about that.
Well, if we get through to this point, we get a maiden special weight, 1 1/8, on the grass. And this is a bit of a trap race if there ever was one. I mean, you depending on how much you're going to spend early, I mean, you're obviously looking at Hypnotist for Andrew McKeever, and also Freedom's Flight, the 5-2 favorite for Sandcal, but that's a horse that's 0-7, although, you know, has come very close. You got to be a little defensive. You've got a Brendan Walsh Furster that is got a big suspect target on his back. How about a Furster for Rudy Brissett coming in from Ireland? Made My Day from Mike Ryan. A Kingman Colt. The Fursters are all, you know, are all a little interesting. On the outside, Joe Minor with Norm Cassie. Alexander Hamilton, a point of entry. Gelding might be okay if he doesn't get into a duel.
Terrible.
Where do we go from here, Ed? That was bad.
another one of those where maybe I hold my nose and single on Freedom's Flight. I mean, he's had seven chances, but the reality is when he stretched out at Keeneland and missed, but that was the fastest race any of these have run. But at the same time, he's been 10-1 plus in three of his last four starts. So now all of a sudden, you know, you take a favorite against this group. Certainly has the feel of a race you'd like to be live to a bunch to, but I just, you know, where it's just hard to make decisions of where you actually draw the line between contenders.
Well, you know, you ask, you go through and you ask yourself a question, what would make the difference here? And for instance, in a Ramsey Solution, 10-1, second time start for Wesley Ward, and certainly Wesley, and then this is a 3-year-old. It's not the usual, you know, Wesley Ward early in the career type, but it is a Ramsey homebred, and the horse has been gelded, had a bad start, you know, in the debut. Took a little bit of money, was 11-2. That came at Keeneland. So, you know, certainly Ken Ramsey's not debuting a horse to be embarrassed at Keeneland. In maiden special weight company. There's probably something to this horse. Can they connect the dots in the second start? You know, this is probably the right place to look. How about Ian Wilkes with this Elidian? You know, anytime I see the Green Lantern team, you know, I look at a second time. They invariably have, you know, seriously well-bred horses that Wilkes and Arno Delacour handle.
What? Did I lose you? Hello. Yeah, it seems that we lost.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I had a baby named Jane. She could shake that thing. Said her daddy used to hang with Johnny Coltrane. She sang
I can't.
Train with a friend named Jen.
I can't interrupt. I can't interrupt Mickey here, but... I don't know if did you lose me, Deja, or did who lost who? You lost me. Oh, okay, all right. I was talking about the, you know, the various horses that, you know, you ask yourself questions. You know, what would be different in this spot, and you know that includes is Ed still there? Oh, you dropped Ed. Ed is still there. I can't hear him. Ed, say something. All right. Maybe pick up Ed. Anyway, make sure to ask yourself, you know, when you look at these horses, what is different today? And when you look at the firsters, this is the kind of field where a firster has to be, you know, seriously considered. So, Ed, I think he's back now.
I'm back.
I don't know where you lost me, but, I just was saying, ask yourself questions. What is different? You know, what can give this horse a chance today?
Yeah, and with Illidan, he was never winning first out for Ian, you know, 36-1, 9 furlongs on the turf, which is today, and other trainers, you know, might train to a spot like this and be able to win, but that's, you know, not Ian. And then second time out, you know, stretched out, and that actually did show a little bit of run. So that's encouraging. And then Chris stays aboard. So I'd have a hard time talking someone off this horse if you're in a position to be able to stretch to him, you know, depending on what you used earlier.
Well, and that's the issue. And how much money you're spending elsewhere, you know, in the sequence, because I do think you want to stretch yourself a little bit. You've also got some jock changes, to consider. Miguel Mena gets aboard Blankenbaker down inside. Actually, that horse has got some speed, has shown some speed. Just kind of looking down. Lydian, as you said, put in a little bit of a run. You know, it's so tough. You know, you when you got horses like this Freedom's Flight, and you know what would be really harrowing, Ed, is if this third edition, the Nacho Correas, somehow ends up drawing in. What do you do then? There's another horse that should have broken his maiden by now.
Yeah, no, it's tough decisions to be made, and even the Foley to his outside got an 89 speed rating in that Churchill race, and Sky Mace's distance stats aren't gangbusters, so you know, I'm not really sure about the stretch out, but sort of an AE that goes under the radar anyway, and then, you know, 10-1. It's a tough race that is kind of sums up the whole sequence. Decisions must be made.
Exactly. And I'm just counting up 1, 2, 3. I'm looking 4 horses out of that Sure Magic win at Keeneland. That, you know, and you referenced some of the Keeneland to Churchill stats October into November. And so you wonder if, you know, you just don't automatically start looking elsewhere, you know, on the basis of that. Then you have the Tell Your Daddy race that included Hypnotist and King of Fortune probably not getting into the race. This does have a look of a race where a stranger, should be your part of your strategy.
Yeah, there's just no one you can, you know, point to the form and say, oh, that was impossible. No. How'd you have that?
What do we expect in terms of handle?
I think a million new money.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
It's fun.
I was under on Saturday. And now with, you know, less competition and a couple days to reload, I think new money is going to hit 7 figures.
Very nice. Well, it's an attractive, and just on the size of the fields alone, the multiples that are going to have to be approached. You know, and the one, by the way, we should note there's an $11,000 super high five carryover into that nightcap.
That's right.
So for the high five players, this is a boy. You're on your own there, folks. Good luck.
Who do you like for fifth?
The all button is who I like for fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, that is That'll be interesting too. That you might be looking to Thursday for a double high five carryover, right? Yeah. What resources on the website and Briz and stuff? Any special?
We actually have free premium pass performances for the whole card. So I was wanting to take a peek at
that's nice.
That's at bristnet.com. It's /derby, actually. It takes you to the Churchill page. Free premium pass performances. And, of course, Steve Moody's Kentucky Handicapper Sheet is available every day for Churchill, but probably going to get some added attention from our subscribers on Wednesday. And he does a great job every race, and some wagering ideas as well from him. So check that out.
Excellent. Excellent. Ed, I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, this was great. Give everybody a blueprint and get them familiar with this sequence. Races 6 through 10 tomorrow, $120,000 carryover, and a positive expectation return for players tomorrow in that late pick 5 at Churchill. And we will excitedly await the final tally that Marshall Graham will provide.
Always good to see in black and white that you're playing for an advantage.
Marshall will put a lecture on hold at Rhodes College to make sure everybody is aware of just how much they're going to get back in their pocket when we get to 5:36 on Wednesday. Ed, thank you. We will probably catch up on Friday.
Sounds good. Hopefully with the victory lap.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Ed DeRosa, everybody. EJXD2. We'll take a break here. 15 into our third hour already. Today's gone by fast. We had that fun visit with Dick Girardi and the always fun visit with Andy. And a little preview of the Pick 5 carryover. Andrew Lerner is going to join us next. And this will be emotional because Princess Dorian, who did not make it, and then at the same time, a stake win in the Betty Grable on Sunday for Andrew's barn, and we'll flip both sides of the coin, tragic and triumphant. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. Don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour three. On this snowy Tuesday morning, upstate New York. I guarantee it's nicer where Andrew Lerner is, and he joins us now on the heels of just the most tumultuous and crazy up and down over the last week to 10 days. The stake win of Betty Grable on Sunday, but the previous Sunday, of course, Princess Dorian stricken, and the touch and go scenario that did not end the way we all were hoping. Andrew, you've been around the game a little, and it's just, this is one of those moments that is very familiar to horsemen.